south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, one of the first things gringos and expats notice once they come down here to Latin America is there is pirating everywhere. No, I don't mean our shiver me timbers kind of pirates, you know, 16 men on a dead man's chest and all that. Although that kind of pirating does exist in one particular area of Latin America. That would be the waters between Venezuela and the island of Aruba and Curaçao. Meaning you don't want to be cruising around on a catamaran or luxury yacht in or near Venezuelan waters, because there really is a good chance you'll be boarded by local Venezuelan pirates. Then, of course, expect to be robbed and maybe never heard from again. You know, that's one of the consequences of being a failed state. They're breeding grounds for pirates of the Caribbean kind. And, of course, consumer product pirating. So today we're going to discuss everything and anything you ever wanted to know about pirated goods in Latin America. And I'll tell you, when I first got down here to Latin America almost 30 years ago now, there was plenty of pirating everywhere. And since then, man, not only has it not gone away or diminished, you could say the pirating biz is on steroids. And it's much more sophisticated, too. And now, of course, we've got IT and the internet, and man, that's made it even easier to be a pirate. Now you could be a couch potato pirate from the comfort of your own home. Let's take, for example, Brazil and the city of Sao Paulo. It's a huge city, and everywhere you see guys weaving through crowds, pushing handcarts stacked with garbage bags filled with knockoff Gucci and Louis Vuitton handbags at $10 to $30 a pop. They've got Nikes, Reeboks, Pumas, all for $8 to $10 a pop, so you know they're not real. They've got all the name brands too, Ray-Ban, Oakley sunglasses at $3 to $5 a pop. And man, have they got the lock on those little reading glasses? Buy a lot of those myself. They're going for like a buck or a buck and a half. Even the ones that are high quality with springs built into them so you don't break them in the first week. You know, in the States at Target, Walmart, Costco, you'll be paying $10 or $15 a piece for the good ones. But get this, these days, and I never saw this a year or so ago, you could walk down the streets of any big city in Latin America, for example, Sao Paulo, Brazil again, and buy personal data and email lists to use for marketing. And you know, when it comes to internet sales, it's all about the quality of your marketing list, right? Man, was I shocked when I saw you could buy all kinds of mailing lists right on the street. And they're sorted, get this, by profession, region, age, demographics, etc., etc. Marketer's dream. And guess what? I saw that you could get a package of 50,000 emails and all the dats on people for only $3. A marketer's dream. Of course, who knows the quality of those lists and how many times they've been sold? You get what you pay for, right? Including this show. Talk about complete loss of privacy. You know, that has a lot to do with the fact that I told you before, many times before, that Latins will give up their email, credit card numbers, WhatsApp numbers, address, and all the dats on their family members, too, anytime a pop-up window appears and says, put in your dats and you'll get a free slice of pizza. Though they really don't even have to plug in their dats, because Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twaddle, and Instagram are collecting all that stuff and selling it to the highest bidder, too. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So, as mentioned, pirating has gotten real sophisticated here in Latin America. Now, get this. During the Christmas rush we just had in 2018, the hottest item for sale on the street down here in Latin America was a little black box no bigger than a couple of packs of cigarettes that allows you to receive nearly every cable or streaming TV series on the planet in any language. Now, I was skeptical. I've seen these things, and they sell anywhere from $100 to $300. Aside from the fact they're illegal, the question is, how do you know these things will do what they say? Because you know me, I've been down here a long time, and I bought lots of pirated CDs, and I'd say probably one out of five or six, once you'd get it home and in your CD player, was a dud. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, Johnny, how could you buy pirated stuff? And I say, how could you not? Fact is, you can't find anyone who sells legit CDs down here. And if they did, you'd probably have to pay $5 or $10 for the real thing. Meanwhile, the pirated jobs are going for $1 or less. Anyway, we all know CDs are on their way out. They're old school and everything's on the net these days. Though with lag time, there is still a big pirated CD market here in Latin America. But back to the point. If you buy one of those pirate boxes, how do you know it'll even work as advertised? Well, never fear. Even these pirate guys in sleazy little kiosks have an internet connection to prove it to you right there. So you drop, let's say, $75 or $100 to have free and, of course, illegal access to HBO, Fox, ESPN, practically anything. In fact, the guy selling it to you will instantly scroll up a huge list of alphabetical offerings beginning with A, Algeria. Yeah, Algerian TV. Just what the doctor ordered, huh? So you've got hundreds of stations to choose from. Ending in Z for Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Zanzibar. Three more perennial favorites, huh? Well, at least Zambia stations in English. In fact, the last pirate TV guy I talked to, I told him I was from Chicago, and within about 3 seconds, he'd found the local ABC affiliates and was streaming high-def live images of Superstation WGN. All right, ready for some stats? As of right now, February 2019, one-third of all Latin households get their pay TV illegally, pirated. And of course, it's all about the money because most Latin American consumers, probably 80% of the entire population, can't afford to pay the regular, legit pay TV prices. It makes sense, but that's not the whole story. The truth is, wealthy, upscale Latins, the upper middle class, politicians, cops, etc., are pirate TV's biggest customers. I mean, hell, take a walk through a government building or business district, and you'll see all kinds of those pirate kiosks everywhere. Yep, right outside and right in front of police buildings, municipal buildings, Congress, even the presidential palace. And notice at lunchtime when everyone's out grabbing a bite, you'll see lots of guys in three-piece suits queuing up for their little piece of pirated media without one bit of guilt, fear, or reservation. Of course, in Latin America, legal subscriptions to things like HBO On Demand, Netflix, Spotify, etc., will run around $10 to $20 a month. And just like in the rest of the world, that part of the business is booming too. And you have to wonder, who's buying the legal services if the pirated stuff is so cheap, in fact, sometimes even free after the initial purchase? I kind of think it's the real legit businesses, the franchises like McDonald's, Burger King, Costco, Walmart, churches, helicopter schools, universities. Only businesses like first world franchises that have to run on the straight and narrow. You know, it wouldn't look good if the corner church, Our Lady of Perpetual Motion, ran pirated cable TV to all the classrooms. Though I could be wrong about that. So Latin America truly is the land of the digital pirates too. So how does it work? How do people hook up? Well, across Latin America, Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook are just loaded with advertisements, pop-up windows that offer pirated access to Netflix, Spotify, and such. They'll bundle all that up for you for a total of less than $3 a month generally. Then you make your payments through Latin PayPal. Yep. They've got PayPal here, and they'll give you security codes to access the contents, and they'll update it monthly via WhatsApp. As mentioned in previous shows, everyone in Latin America has WhatsApp, even the shoeshine boys, and if you don't have it, you're nothing. Anyway, by stealing the digital signal, they build out their own server farms here, so it's not your normal P2P connection that's peer-to-peer. It's P2P as in peer-to-pirate. Anyway, as of 2019, of all the ways to steal signals and illegally stream stuff to customers, nothing is bigger here in Latin America than those little TV black boxes. Get this, in Brazil alone, there are more than 2 million of those so-called TV boxes in use. And since, you know, Latin males, Latinos are nuts about their football, we call it soccer, suppliers can barely keep up with the demand for those things. And even though those somewhat live feeds coming from Europe's soccer games can have a 15, 30, or 45-second delay, to the fanatic, it's infinitely better than just a year or two ago when games were watched pre-recorded hours earlier or by pay-per-view. In fact, Spain's Liga, the World Cup guys, claim a 60% loss in revenue just from Latin American pirating alone. So what about when the legit companies change their codes? They do that once in a while, you know. Won't that screw up your pirate box? It needs those codes too, right? Well, get this. When you buy a pirate box, you get a guarantee. Chinese companies manufacture those boxes with built-in pirate-friendly configurations. Again with the Chinese, huh? That means the Chinese set up and maintain certain standard features so that the software code is automatically reconfiguring the networks when local or regional law enforcement shuts down access to foreign servers. Even wilder is the pirates hire their own software experts that steal the HDTV directly from legal TV boxes, and it's so common that Latino soccer fanatics don't even flinch when they see Chinese subtitles sometimes pop up on the screen right in the middle of a soccer match. That's what happens when one or more servers get shut down and they have to reconfigure on the fly. In fact, one European reporter doing a story on the pirate biz in South America said he was walking on Santa Ifigenia Street in Sao Paulo, Brazil. On a single block, he counted 40 different little kiosks selling those pirate boxes. He said they all seemed to be buddies and loosely bound to a kind of a pirate co-op. They even had their own clandestine software programmers that would offer to customize your box for another $15. One guy said he sold an average of 20 to 30 boxes a day, and often there were none on the shelves at all. They were selling like hotcakes, or rather, I should say, tortillas. From there, you walk down the street and you see little guys handing out slick flyers, offering access to a pirate platform called My Family Cinema, which offers more than 60,000 films and TV series, including more than 250 channels in Ultra HD. And of course, all the kid, Disney, and porn channels, too. Not to mention, they've got a religion package, allowing you to tune into more than 500 religious channels. You gotta wonder, would Jesus be up for that? Hey, he multiplied the fish when the people were hungry. Why not the pirate boxes? Hey, brother, have you heard the word? For $15 extra, you could have it in 100 languages. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Speaking of Chile, we're talking about that place in last week's show. Turns out last July, just 6 months ago, Fox Network News Group and Pay TV led a raid along with Chilean police on 7 different pirate locations in Santiago. They seized more than 10,000 black boxes, including a number of servers packed with the names and viewing habits of the pirate network's 50,000 plus subscribers. So that's one way pirates can avoid being prosecuted in various countries, by having subscribers in one country routed through another country. So if there's a raid, the jurisdictions are all muddled and no one gets prosecuted. Meanwhile, in Paraguay's private pirate paradise, Ciudad del Este, try saying that real fast after a couple of tequilas. Let's see. Paraguay's private pirate paradise. Paraguay's private pirate paradise. Whoa. Anyway, police seized 150,000 illegal black boxes and 90,000 black boxes that had just arrived from Peru. The thing is, cops are very hesitant to prosecute these kind of crimes because they buy pirated stuff themselves. And they're on the take to look the other way. In fact, I'll bet you a Bitcoin that there isn't a single cop or fat-ass government slug who doesn't have a dozen or so pirated CDs at the house. I'm talking about cops in uniform and fat-ass bureaucrats in their three-piece suits walking up to a kiosk right in front of where they work, buying pirated stuff as casually as you'd buy a package of Doritos. Oh, and I've also driven on the Pan-American Highway between Guatemala and Mexico, and I've watched cops pull over and buy pirated gasoline, too. Yep, there are hundreds of little outlets up and down the Pan-American Highway selling pirated gasoline and diesel in individual gallon and 5-gallon jugs, with the discount price scribbled on each jug with a magic marker. And the funny thing is, years ago, when I first saw a police cruiser pull up to one of those pirated kiosks, I thought, aha, they're going to bust that guy for selling pirated gas. Instead, they were there to buy a couple gallons. Not kidding. So the question is, as compared to a few years ago, is there more piracy in Latin America or less? Well, let's dive in by talking about this article that just came out of Brazil. Starts out, when Brazilian authorities announced to crack down on illegal cable and TV services in 2018, a newspaper poll showed 95% of the public opposed any measure or crackdown. In fact, what the poll showed was that Latin society believes illegal markets are
legal.
Especially since they know the cops and the politicians are involved in it too. Then, the article says, after spending months investigating and receiving judicial orders to shut down a major pirate broadcasting network in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, regulators and the legit people in the industry cheered when finally, after months and thousands of hours of police work, the illegal streaming network was halted. However, within 2 hours, the software installed in those black boxes had linked automatically to alternative servers and it was up and running again. 2 hours later. But they did discover some of the main ways those pirate platforms get back online. They discovered the Chinese are hosting those sites. Again with the Chinese. They use their own server networks, and when alerted that legal actions are about to shut down their servers, they immediately migrate over to Amazon. In fact, it says, according to Antonio Sales Nieto, who works for the Anti-Fraud Intelligence Unit of the Brazil Association of Pay TV, he says the servers will reroute through Amazon.com or Alibaba. I wonder how they do that. And it's not possible to shut them down once that happens. Be Johnny again. Don't ask me how Amazon gets involved in all that, but hey, just reporting the facts, ma'am. Oh, and by the way, it's not just IT, TV, and media that get pirated. Turns out that a third of all Latin American medicines are pirated too. In fact, you can visit any crazy, chaotic street market and you'll see medicines and pharmaceuticals being sold everywhere. You'll see familiar names and brands of psychotropics, antibiotics, blood pressure meds, even three or four different kinds of Viagra. And you'll see it's not just poor Latin consumers buying this stuff. It's the middle class, wealthy, and upscale professional classes too. Which brings us to this crazy-ass story of a guy in Guatemala whose nickname is El Rey de Tenis. In English, the tennis shoe king. This guy, whose real name is Roberto López Villatoro, is the tennis shoe king. He started his career in the early 90s selling shoes out of the trunk of his car while he was in law school. People bought his knockoff brand names and asked no questions. He was buying directly from China. Again with the Chinese, through Panama, at $5 a pair for knockoff name brands like Reebok, Nike, etc. By 1999, he was selling 10 million pairs a year. Then, being a lawyer, he was able to register his own brand name called Payless, exactly like the U.S. retailer. Though Latinos don't pronounce it right, they say Pelex, with a non-existent X at the end of it, Pelex. And he was selling Nikes and Gucci loafers for $7 a piece. Then, in 2001, the real Pelex sued him, as did sneaker brands Vans and Fila. But nothing happened, and the charges were stalled in Latin court. And how about this? Even the Guatemalan, Nicaraguan, Honduran, and El Salvadorian governments were his customers. In the last decade, he sold boots to their armies, sports apparel and uniforms to their ministers of education, and uniforms and boots to their police departments. So, all you expat gonna-bes and wannabes, if you think piracy's gonna go away here in Latin America, it's institutionalized, so forget about it. All right, so we talked about counterfeiting media, TV, sports programs, etc., and shoes. So, what else is pirated? Well, it's estimated that roughly one-third of all the booze and alcohol is pirated or illicit. And Mexico is a major market for counterfeit toys. Who'd have thunk? It's found that one in every six toys for sale in Latin America is pirated. So, is your kid's toy Mattel, Hasbro, or a real Barbie? Maybe not. And this is hard to believe, but it's true. Some Mexican-made toy bootlegs have become so popular and sought after by collectors, they fetch much higher prices than the real thing. Not only that, there's a huge market in pirated printing material, fiction, nonfiction, but the big printed market by far, knockoff copies of academic texts. Let's talk about Chile again. And it's Chile, not Chile. It's ground zero for Latin America's biggest illegal printing and ebook operation, through pirated download sites and databases like Sci-Hub, which provides pirated papers to university students in the name of open access. In fact, it's been estimated that 40 to 50% of all copyrighted educational books and articles are pirated and or violate intellectual property laws. And so as a secondary effect, how can you expect university students, when they get out and graduate, to view pirating and violation of intellectual property rights as a serious offense or any kind of offense at all? Oh, and take a guess which Latin country counterfeits the most drugs and pharmaceuticals by far. All right, time's up. Did you guess Colombia? You'll be surprised when you hear that legit Colombian drug manufacturing outfits also produce counterfeit pharmaceuticals too, like discounted treatments for cancer, HIV, erectile dysfunction meds, the works, with knockoff labels and often falsified expiration dates. And I'll bet you never thought in a million years that Peru is the counterfeit U.S. dough capital of the world. Although it's said that North Korea produces the best fakes, it turns out in 2003, the U.S. Secret Service first discovered nearly perfect $100 bills coming out of Lima, Peru. And they've only gotten better at it. Turns out, these days, on the outskirts of Lima, for $180, you can buy $2,000 in almost perfect fake greenbacks. So then how many of these funny money copies of funny money are actually getting out there in the public? Well, in 2016, the last year we have data on this, U.S. agents in Peru seized $30 million in counterfeit funny money. But that's not all. Latin America even has counterfeit food. Who'd have thunk, huh? Well, guess who's the biggest producer of counterfeit food in all of Latin America? That would be Nicolas Maduro, scumbag socialist dictator president of Venezuela. Who else? Whose government was recently caught graciously handing out powdered milk that had no milk or dairy products in it at all. Oh, and they tried to pin it on Mexico because they'd stamped the boxes made in Mexico. Yep, Bernie and that snaggletooth-looking woman, Ocasio, repeat after me. Socialism works. Socialism works. My advice? Take a handful of Zoloft's, wash them down with a bottle of tequila, and book a flight to Caracas. Oh, and Ocasio, how about free dentistry for everyone, starting with you? But I digress as usual, but not much. Right, here's another did you know. Did you know that half of all the software in Latin America has been password cracked and unlicensed, making the illegal software market equal in value to the legal market? Oh, and Brazil has the most flagrant software pirating in all Latin America. Why? Yeah, they actually know why. Well, analysts say the practice had its roots in the previous military dictatorship, with some of the world's heaviest taxes and restrictions on imports, which kicked Brazil's software and video game pirates in high gear. Oh, and this is interesting. Let's talk about counterfeit seeds and plants. Did you know that Argentina is the world's third biggest exporter of soy and corn? And right now, there's a controversial kind of piracy which occurs when farmers knowingly or unknowingly plant genetically modified seeds. Ugh. Turns out a previous law allows Argentine farmers to replant genetically modified seeds, rather than buying new seeds from companies like Monsanto. However, Monsanto recently threatened to leave the Argentine market because of this law. So, as a result, Argentine farmers just struck a deal to pay royalties as part of a proposed reform to that seed law, which in the end will transfer some $600 million in royalties to Bayer/Monsanto, you know, their one company now, over the next 5 years. Ugh. Now, with all due respect to Doug Casey, for me, that's just reason 1,246 why I'd never want to live in Argentina. All right, but let's not forget the pirated cosmetics industry. And for that, we're back in Chile again. They're big on pirated beauty and personal care products, maybe number one in all of Latin America. Turns out, in late 2018, just a few months ago, Chilean customs seized 144,000 boxes of undeclared, unmarked, that means without a country of origin, beauty products, valued in the millions. And industry tests on some of those counterfeit products revealed that some had high levels of mercury and even human waste. Nice. What price beauty, huh? Now, if you look at simple logistics, Brazil has the most problem with counterfeiting because it borders 10 different countries and has about 5,000 miles of coastline. That means there are thousands of unmonitored exit and entry points. Now, if you talk to anyone from South America, they'll tell you the best place with the most variety of counterfeit products, the one place you can get everything and anything, counterfeit, of course, That would be the wild and crazy, chaotic, notorious area known as the Triple Frontier, where Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil meet at one point. So keep that in mind if you want to see a market that's really like the Wild Wild West. So then what are governments and international property law experts doing about it? Well, last year, around 800 tons of counterfeit goods worth almost $100 million were seized near that Triple Frontier. And guess what? Within 2 months, they were selling balls to the wall again, bigger and better than ever. That's even though selling pirated software, pharmaceuticals, alcoholic beverages, etc., can carry huge fines and 15 years in jail. However, if you ask around, you'll find that no one seems to know a single person who's ever been fined or jailed for it. And here's something I'm sure you haven't considered. Since dealing in pirated and counterfeit goods is almost always in cash, that's one way the narcos in Colombia, Peru, and Mexico can launder their dough. Because cash can finance huge buys, even shiploads of counterfeit goods from China. It's the old suitcase full of dead presidents method. It's a great way to bypass banks altogether. So then you might ask, what about Mexico, the closest Latin country to you? Well, as far as the government dealing with counterfeit and pirated goods, they're doing just about nothing. Because you see, there's a law on the books in Mexico that says the Mexican Attorney General's office is not authorized to seize suspect counterfeit goods in transit or through borders unless first it's done a study of the impact of those goods on the Mexican economy. Ha ha, good luck with that. Sounds to me like the counterfeiters wrote that law. They probably did. Which brings us to Panama, where all those counterfeit goods end up making a stop. So Panama's the number one pirate distribution site in all of Latin America. Well, according to intellectual property attorneys in Panama, raids on containers are being affected all the time. They say China has its own intellectual property laws, but they don't want to implement them in Panama, which leaves Panama officials the job of opening containers and checking out counterfeit goods. Meanwhile, if you walk down any of Panama City's busiest streets, or the free port of Colón in Panama, you'll see all kinds of people queuing up at stores and little kiosks for what else? To buy counterfeit products. The public's buying, the cops are too, self-important bureaucrats are buying, and lard-ass government slugs. Are there any other kind? You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!